So it's an interesting world out there. You don't have to be bored. But when you're trying to listen, quiet yourself and then try to set your own critical mind, that your conscious mind that nags at you all the time. You have to practice at getting rid of that little bugger. And then you can hear. And then you have to understand that when you begin to try to hear and listen, you better hear and listen. Because there's so much you don't want to hear that you won't listen. Because you're ingrained, you're trained, you are absolutely integrated with a system that criticizes, nags, and is your perception, which is called ego. And it's your downfall. Set aside ego and you can hear clearly. But listen. Make yourself still and listen. Anyone else want to add to that one? I'm open for discussions too. I don't know how to help at your level all the time.
Well, I'd like to help with that last one. This make yourself still. Part of ourself is always still. The other part of ourself, which is never still, is that which rests upon our shoulders. If we could spend more time in the simple place, more or less away from the reign of the upper place, the stillness would be, because that's the reality, and the absence is the illusion.
Thank you, because it is in the stillness you hear. For some of you, you know, I don't want to go off on a commercial kick, but there's this son of mine that is called Jonathan Parker, and many of you will have heard him on television and infomercials. He was created, he recognized this. He's 10 years older than he was, of course, but he was a young man 10 years ago. He's most of your average age. And Jonathan, literally almost in adult mind, was created specifically for one pass through this earth incarnation, if you will, to be a teacher. And he literally has done some of the best hypnosis materials, but he moved out of that and into some meditation tapes. That was his purpose. And when we get closer to doing Sipapu Odyssey, you'll all get to know him because he will be in it. He'd already agreed to this. And it's very, very difficult to understand. And some of you are blessed enough to have experienced this. Dorma's blessed enough to have been able to go through this. But it was at a time when we were shifting physically back and forth between craft and earth, and many things happen to the physical body, one of which is like bends, B-E-N-D-S, as divers will have it. One is air bubbles that will get into the inner ear, and it will almost deafen you, and then it will open, and it's just so annoying. But it is also such a precious personal private experience when God does this, that you really hesitate to share it. Not because of ridicule, necessarily. It goes beyond that kind of recognition, in that you just don't want to share it. You can't express it strongly enough. But Jonathan was given vision and insight into his own creation for this particular pass through. And I would suggest if someone, and I believe Karen even got some documents from him, some catalogs and things. He was living in Ojai. I believe that he may still be in that area. I don't remember now what he called his little institute, but he did some of the very best meditation series specifically for this, to learn to listen, to learn to experience. And it does, yes, indeed, go along with hypnosis, self-hypnosis. And self-hypnosis is so simple that all of you miss it. You expect to pass into this deep inability to move. The reason you don't move is because it's just not convenient to move, and the point was to get still. So you'll begin to obey the realistic instructions that your mind will give you. So, I don't know. Maybe if you got in touch with this man and got some of those earlier master's tapes that he made, you would be able to find your way into meditation a little more gently and easily than to try to get the entire encyclopedia at once. And it sounds really good, you know. Just go get still. I know that it sounds good, and when I say it, I sound flippant, and it embarrasses me myself. Because it's not that simple. But if you breathe properly and you tell your mind to be in stillness, it will go there. When you get control of your mind and your being, you become the master. Otherwise, everything in your environment will control you.
Commander, is there a way beyond that word, the name Jonathan Parker, to reach this guy? Do you know?
Well, yes, I know right where he's at, but no, not that I want to share here, because I don't want people just rushing out there to him. Let's do it in a logical way and in a very physical way, and that way he can appreciate it. It's almost time to be in touch with him for the motion picture anyway. So let's see what it. You've put it out there. It'll show up. If you would give me just a moment of quiet. I have a blathering dorma. Can we get off?
Off the record.
This is your time.
Yes, about last night.
Speak up.
Your ship normally sets... Your ship normally sets in the west here about a little after sunset. Is that correct?
Right.
What's the one that... coming up before you set.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
You'd ordinarily say, well, there he is, wouldn't you?
Unless you do a double.
We can do a double.
Okay.
I'm glad you
Does this tell me we're going to wrap this up now? That nobody has any more questions? I don't believe it. Is all the cake gone?
No.
How many more days?
Okay.
What do you want to talk about? I'm down to Little Crow.
Commander, I'm Ron from Honolulu.
Yeah.
I bring greetings from... Paul Canyon, Hilda, Melissa, and myself. Thank you for allowing us to be here. I did have a number of questions. Actually, I was rereading Spacegate for, I think, the fourth or fifth time, and finally got the gravity of what was being presented, that this is really a con. Not this is, but the government and the whole scheme is this great illusion that was presented somehow by some energy. But the point, we were talking about listening. And what I noticed in the room just before, I just wanted to comment on that. I worked with some people on in that area. Paul has also done some work in that area. Is one of what was occurring while that question was being asked was people were listening. And not like a tip or a way you can always do this, is that you can notice that your attention was with the question. You were not willing to be diverted
from what was going on. You know how often we converse with each other? We look at each other, and then all of a sudden another person steps in, and all of a sudden you're trying to explain something clearly and potently, and what happens, you get distracted. So what I see in our relationship here is what was going on in the room just before we went off into another topic of conversation. It was people were attending to, putting attention into, and their intention to really understand what was going on. Not that you can figure it out either. That's another trap I found, is if when you try to figure it out or understand it completely, the way your listening has been designed is to figure it out the way you were programmed. That may be a little bit confusing. What I'm saying is that we all came up and were brought up in a certain way with certain patterns of information that made sense to us. And so we have how many people here? A lot. And we all have a way of listening from our preconceived notion of what's going on. There's another phenomenon that I would like to share, and that was with Buckminster Fuller used to speak a lot about how people listen and how people think. And one maybe tip, so to speak, is that rather than think with your brain, which is reactive, you think with your mind, which is possible. In other words, he distinguished possibility thinking or mind thinking. He called it mind thinking. That lives in the area of possibility. So that you don't dismiss anything out of hand. You simply allow it to be there. If you don't understand it, that's fine. It can sit like a brick in your lap until you understand it. We can always throw the brick away. The one thing that I found for myself is paying attention, though. That really helps a lot. So not being distracted or not allowing other people to distract you. You know, it's okay in a conversation, I find sometimes, to say, excuse me, I'm speaking with this person and I really need to pay attention to this because this is sacred time. And when we give our time, we would really like to use it to the higher purposes of fulfilling the divine will, if you will, or the, I think what we're up to is creating a civilization based in love, harmony, and truth. At least that's why I'm here. And I know that that's why my wife is here. So we come with that intention and that desire. So I have a lot of questions, but the one question that's always eluded me is this notion of worship. And being brought up a Southern Baptist and Lutheran and having that heritage or that baggage, and respecting and honoring it. See, my bird friend here is speaking up. Same pattern. But
they're totally honest.
Yes, they are. Yeah, they tell you what's going on. My question was, could you flesh out or give us a little bit fuller understanding of the notion of worship as distinguished from what we're programmed to think it is, you know, bowing down and giving your thought away to another. In other words, rather than having your own power, giving your power to another is what worship is thought of, I think. That's how at least I understand it. And so it's and I know there's honor and respect and reverence for not only Creator God and our ancestors, but our fellow man. So perhaps you could give us a bit more guidance on that worship, meaning what's the origin of that? Where did it come from? Or what is the derivation of the word worship? Did it mean wordship or something like that? So those are some thoughts I had in the question.
Well, it's a word that literally is based on Greek, as most of your languages of the English, you know, the later historical periods will most always go back to are derived from the Greek language, because this is your origin. Now, many things were in Aramaic, Sanskrit, and they may have had the same meaning, but they were not put into tonal varieties of expression so well until the Greeks came along. And even though their alphabet is different, you will have similar series of sounds. So if you want to go back simply to the term formed to suit and define a given set of circumstances, we only have to go back to the Greeks. It was available for utilization far back beyond that. And of course, this was a form of Egyptian rulership where you were required to worship something. Well, I would prefer if that word were never in any language, period. to me, it has nothing but negative meaning. Because the way it is utilized, you see, going back into, who was our friend that did so much on the Jewish, came to visit us? Well, I'm sorry.
Mullins?
No.
Jordan Maxwell?
That one. Remember, he showed you pictures, Masonic symbols, etc., but all the way back into Egypt, they worshipped what? The serpents and the penis. But both represented the same thing. And then you had multiple deities. So who in the world knew what to worship? So worship is something that never, ever should be used in relationship to God. Because that puts God, that puts, from the very meaning of the word itself, it puts something above and beyond and higher than you. And there is nothing higher, greater, beyond, above you. So worship begins to be a cop-out of responsibility. I won't be responsible, and I worship Jesus. Well, poor soul. And I'm speaking about Jesus. How dare you? How dare you put him in the position of being some icon or idol out of your imaginings that you can dump whatever garbage you want to onto him. And you can kill him, murder him, and stab him, and let him bleed. And then you choose to worship his blood. Do all sorts of things with it that only in a human environment would be done. Could be done. It can't be done anywhere else. So it is a very human word that comes forth from the demand of those who wish to be worshipped. That is not God. That is not any master. And when ones come along and they give these great and grand titles, His Lord Majesty, His worship, I bow at the hem of your garment. You know, it is phony bull s. Reverence, respect, or sufficient. Because even if you started to worship yourself and that godness within self, what do you become? An egotistical bully. Suddenly you are special, and that means you may make rules. You may not make rules for me. And I have no intention of setting rules for you. Wisdom. And you see, this was part of the word worship. This wiseness, this wisdom. This is setting something up as being all wise. In the Lakota language, for instance, that would be Nagi Khan, the great or sacred wise one. And we must worship this one. Well, it started out as a word of reverence. We revere and respect your higher knowledge. And then, of course, mankind gets a hold of that and crowns himself, and now I am your worship, and you will do as I tell you to do, because you have no choice. I have been anointed as the wise one, because you're too stupid to do anything right, or you wouldn't be on your knees in front of me. I'm smart enough to know that. The point is not to ever allow you to know it. So I consider worship as a totally heinous word. I wish that all of you would start using that instead of damn. Yeah, right. The minute someone calls somebody His Holiness, as in the Pope, I want to gag. And if he had any integrity, he would. Because these are just the little cute ways of containing you, of limiting you. And when we get it all put in the Bible, and we're all going to believe the words in this book, regardless of who wrote it, and it says, worship, fall down on your knees and worship this babe. Say, what? This poor little kid that was born in a manger? You're going to dump that on him? No, thank you. This is one of those strong words that is built for control. And you see, it becomes something they can require that you use as a term in the churches. Well, most of the time in this day and age, you can walk out of the church. But what do? They threaten your soul. Oh, God will strike you dead. And little Minnie, you know, she's afraid to go outside the door because he may. She'll make sure he does. These are the lies of your illusion. And yet you don't want to go up there and pop the Pope. You're going to end up in prison. So you have to use your intelligence, and that's where wisdom maybe comes in. And this whole thing about the mark of the beast, bad news. Everybody has the mark of the beast. You were given it before you were born. So, well, who are you kidding? I am not going to accept whatever it is. I think it's this 666. I think it's this barcode. I think it's this computer in Basel. I think it's this computer in Colorado. Oh, my God, I may not have this mark of the beast upon me. You don't even know what the mark is. So how can you not have it? But by this big display of worshiping whatever it is you've been told to worship, also, now you will turn around from his worship and you will say, I will not take your mark. And they just grin. You have just identified yourself as the idiot that they're going to put away. You have just succumbed. And a lot of Christians died at the hands of the Romans for this very same stupid reason. But I was told I have to proclaim him. Why don't you just keep your mouth shut? And we might be able to make some progress. Well, but I have to have a deity to worship. Why? Haven't you got enough trouble already? Why? Well, I don't know. But that must be why they call you a cult leader. Because you got these weird ideas. I don't have weird ideas. Weird ideas and worship ideas and evil ideas are all over, everywhere. The least of which is in this room. Don't worship anything or anyone. Not self. Respect. God wants not your worship, God wants your reverence. Just exactly the way He non-judgmentally recognizes and respects you. Oh, but I've sinned. You've what? Well, that must be worthy of hanging. That's another word we don't use. We, in our realm, do not use worship. I have to use it in speaking sometimes because I have to use a language that I think will get a point across. But it's never perfect that way. And if I revert to my own language, which is the universal language, nobody understands it, including Dorma. She can translate it, but doesn't mean anything. So we have to pick and choose from what language is available to us to formulate a sound that reaches an ear that allows you to either see it or hear it and have meaning from it. And so these terms began to be something. And usually over a period of years, they become so warped that they no longer have any meaning at all. Until you ask about it and we talk about it. Holocaust. Holocaust is simply a very large disaster, usually fire, that is very, you know, a disaster. How did it get to be a special tool of the Khazarian people, who aren't even Jews? They are self-styled people from all races that call themselves Jews because they label themselves Jews. So what did they call themselves before they called themselves Jews? They called themselves worshipful serpents. And you can look it up in history. I am not misleading you. Therein lies your enemy. Therein lies your adversary. Does that mean that every Jew or every Khazarian is your enemy? Of course not. They don't know any more than you do. You know more than they do. So the majority of the masses of people are simply uninformed and refuse, because of this edict of worship and non-contradiction of this authority set up there by man in some way, you dare some questioning. And then enough time goes by that nobody gives a damn, and you don't question it anyway. You just go worship every Sunday morning. What? Are your clothes, the church house, the organist, the preacher? What is it you worship in there? You just go. It's called tradition. Mom and Dad went. And yet, from those very places, every now and then, you can go every Sunday morning, and I'm telling you, you can get a good lesson in there, and I'm not talking of spiritual irony. I'm talking about reality. Because you expect some peace and some input and some spiritual connection, you'll get something out of it, if that's your intent. And you don't have to believe in everything they do. It is the wise man who can discern. And if you get beauty and peace out of listening to the music or the message, you see, they're very good at giving the right message. They usually give you what you want to hear. And then they'll ask for your money. And if they've given you what you want to hear, even though you'll say, well, I didn't want to hear that, but it was a pretty good message today, so I'll plink, 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 you know, according to how much good that lesson did you. And then you go right out of that church with your absolution now, and you can't restrict that to Catholic or Roman Catholic. You see, Catholic is a word like worship. Catholic simply means universal, the universal church. But the Roman Catholic is an entirely different thing, isn't it? You will come back, my friends, to the Catholic religion. When all else goes away, truth will come again. And it will be called Catholic, simply because it will be universal. But before you get there, they're going to thrust off a new world religion on you. And you are going to abide by it. Don't think the people of England don't abide by the rules laid down by the crown that they call the church. Ask Ireland how well that works. So in almost all of these incredible instances of word usury, the absolute usurpation of truth, you'll find these words hidden. And by golly, they have meaning. Be careful how you use them. They have power. And they are trigger words. And when you talk about worship, you guys don't worship God. You don't worship Christ. You don't worship Jesus. But some Satanists worship Satan. You see, you've seen the lie at some level, so you don't buy into it. You go through the ritual. But when you get down to worship and doing anything, you got it with the Satanists. That was a good one. Someone ask another good one.
Mike. Thank you, Commander.
Ditto the word belief. So-and-so said it, and I believe that, and therefore I believe what was said.
What is the question?
Well, that whole concept.
Just that whole concept of believing. I believe because it came from this source, therefore it must be 100% truth and all that kind of stuff.
Well, number one, if you say, I believe, and then you start making all these excuses, why? You don't believe. Now, that's just fact. I believe because so-and-so told me, and I like them, so I better listen, and that makes sense, so I guess I believe it. You can believe anything you want. Do not confuse I believe with I know. And be very careful how you use the word know, or you will be using it like I believe, and it has no meaning. I believe indicates only, simply, fundamentally, your opinion. And your opinion may have been formulated by something someone told you. And you can say, oh, I do believe this to be true. But when you say that, you are also saying, but it probably is not. Because when you know, you will use that term. I know that what I'm doing is right and correct. Well, maybe it's not correct, but I know that if I do this, it will be right. And yet this goes on all the time, the lie. The lie. Why did you come over here today? Well, because I believe everybody has a right to hear whatever they want to hear and sort and all of this. Well, what do you think about it? Well, I don't know, but I believe that. Well, you've just negated. You have stated that I have an opinion about it, and I'm comfortable there, or I'm uncomfortable there, or I believe and I think that probably there's some reality in that room, and probably even in that speaker. But you will be astounded. The ones who come the farthest distance at the greatest inconvenience will say, I came because I know I'm at home there. And it doesn't really have anything to do with Commander or Eckers or you. It has everything to do with knowing. And Commander doesn't even give you a safe out. So you've got to know or you wouldn't bother. And if you don't know, and you only think and believe, but you just can't be sure, it's better you make your choice and go. Because this place is not going to change. This Commander is not going to change. This is what was pushed on us from the very beginning. Well, if you just did this, and you did that, and you set it up this way, and if you just wouldn't be so bullheaded, and if you wouldn't just be so... You may go... is my place. Well, what do you know about anything? Well, Little Crow will tell you 186,000 times around, I got him by triple. I know. I know. When I say I think, then I'm thinking along with you. I'm reasoning in your environment. But when I say something I know to be true, you can count on it to your last dying breath. And that's the difference in knowing and believing. Believing is also a great cop-out. It's another one of those cop-outs. Because it allows you to have an egotistical opinion of something based on no reality. It's sort of like faith. Only don't you have to have some faith in something? Trust and love and faith are the foundation upon which everything in interrelationships must be built. When that is gone, you have nothing. As long as respect remains, you've got everything. You can rebuild whatever this misunderstanding was. But unless you can hold on to these tools, you've lost. You've lost your game. It doesn't mean you won't find another game and it won't be wonderful and you will be very, very successful. But you will have lost that game, that match, let's put it that way, that skirmish. Doesn't mean you've lost the war. And no one can start out knowing. You've got to evaluate. You've got to use wisdom and evaluate. And then comes knowing. I'm not saying that you cannot have realization of a very sudden and instantaneous method of insight that changes you for all of the rest of your environmental being or station on this place. And you will draw from everything in your past experience, but what you are also doing is drawing heavily from your future experience. Or else you're not going anywhere. You're going to die in this, I believe, and am confused. And you're going to go right here and spiral downward rather than moving upward. You've got to be open, flexible. And the first thing you have to learn to do is say, I was wrong about that. I've got to reconsider this. I call that flexibility or recognition of having to be open to receive, because you cannot know everything about everything. You can know a very large amount about some things, but the facts are you will not know everything there is known about even that topic. And in these days, less and less and less can you really know what is going on. So knowing comes from that recognition within of recognizing and knowing your relationship with God. And you see, you can know that it's not too great, the same as you can know it's okay. So you, only you can measure that. Now you can believe and think that you can acquire this by doing these other things, opening your mind, listening, hearing, evaluating, measuring, talk about it, debate about it, criticize it, and then you become discerning. And a lot of times people come to the conclusion this is not their place. I don't believe it. See, once again, I don't believe it's my place. Well, you came. We didn't drag you here. So evaluate that, okay? I'll evaluate that. Well, I don't know. I can go along with some things, but I can't really go along with others. Nobody is pushing anyone into going along with anything. That's up to you. But you will not be able to come into knowing until you are able to be flexible enough to go beyond, well, I believe. You've got to go beyond, I believe. But once again, that means you've got to move beyond the I, the me. And yet, what he believes isn't going to get you anywhere, is it? Unless what he believes happens to be knowing and truth. So be very careful also when you say, I know, because, you know, that's a good word for somebody to come back and make sure you were not correct. Over and over and over. The adversarial game is to make sure you don't know what you're doing. Who else has a good word?
I have another.
Hang on. He has one.
Commander, you were speaking about knowing, and Walter Russell, in his writings, defines knowing as that which exists within the stillness, the cosmic stillness of God. And thinking being the electric two-wave created extension of that knowing, being the material universe, the sensed universe. And this whole scenario moves forward based on the power of creative desire. So would you comment for us on the mechanics of creative desire?
With or without plagiarism?
With.
Send the man to jail.
Sorry.
You cannot do anything without the desire to do it. You won't do it. Somebody can force you to do it, and you may do it, but let me tell you something. It is through the force that you desire to get it done. Creative desire is something that has to come from that knowing within that you have the power